This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my dear brothers and sisters, we are in our lesson on the Aqidah of the Muslims, the fundamental creed, what Muslims believe and what a person needs to believe in order to enter Islam and to remain in Islam. This is called the Aqidah. The Arabic word is Aqidah. The meaning of it is the fundamental creed. What does it mean? It means that if I'm not a Muslim, I want to become a Muslim, I must believe these things as I have indicated and as I have explained in these whole series of lectures. So listen to the whole series. And secondly, I must continue to hold this belief as long as I live. And then I need to die on this belief. Then inshallah I will be called a Muslim and I will be called upon and I will be asked to appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the group which will be the group of Muslims. If I do not believe these things, then I cannot enter Islam. If I enter Islam and I do not believe in, and I stop believing in some of these things, or I change the belief, or I change the way I believe in some of these things, then I would have effectively left Islam. Now, leaving Islam does not mean that somebody will come and kill me. It doesn't mean that I will grow two horns and a tail. It doesn't mean that my shape of my face or my nose or my ears or my eyes will change or something will happen. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. Nobody will know and nobody needs to do anything. So please, those of you who believe that somehow if somebody enters Islam and then if they leave Islam, in the moment they leave Islam, that the Muslims are going to be coming for them with drawn swords, this is all nonsense. All of this is Islamophobic garbage that has been peddled to give Islam a bad name. Most welcome, enter Islam. Most welcome, leave Islam. Nobody is going to chop your head. Nobody is going to do anything to you. Islam is between you and your Creator. It is between you and Allah. There is no third party involved. That is the whole fundamental basis of Islam. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So where is the third party involved? A person entering Islam is saying, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. A person leaving Islam is saying that somebody else is more worthy of worship than Allah, or the person is saying that he is joining someone as a partner with Allah, or a person is saying, I will not worship Allah. It is still between him and Allah. There is no third party involved. If you enter Islam, does somebody come and give you a check for $1 million? No. If you say, well, if I enter Islam, what is the material benefit for me? The answer is there is zero material benefit for you. There is no material benefit for you. If you are entering Islam because of material benefit, then your entry into Islam is invalid. Please understand this. If somebody bribes you and says, become a Muslim, I will give you $10,000. Become a Muslim, I will give you $100,000. And you become a Muslim. To get the $100,000, you are not a Muslim. You are not a Muslim. You have merely said with your tongue, La ilaha illallah. This, there are any number of people in the world. There are people who are teaching Islam. They themselves are not Muslims, but they are highly knowledgeable about Islam. They are teaching Islamic studies in different universities. They are saying La ilaha illallah 10 times a day because they are teaching the stuff. So if a non-Muslim is teaching Islam, and this non-Muslim has to tell his or her students, what do the Muslims believe in? What are they going to say? They will say they believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. That's it. So does that make them a Muslim? Just like, for example, if somebody asks me, what do Christians believe? So I'll say general belief. Of course, different denominations of Christianity have different beliefs. But the general Christian belief, I say, is that Christians believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is either Son of God or He is God incarnate, that God came to the earth in the form of a human being, and that human being was Isa, was Jesus, and therefore Jesus is God. So I just said Jesus is God, right? Is that my belief? No. So why did I say that? I'm teaching you. I'm explaining to you what certain sects or certain denominations of Christians believe. Just saying something does not make you a member of that religion. Just saying something does not enter you into that religion. As I explained on the first lesson, to become a Muslim, to actually become a Muslim, saying comes second. Before the saying comes the belief in the heart. Tasdeeq bil qalb, to confirm with your heart, in your heart. Who knows what's in your heart? Only Allah. Only Allah. Who knows what is in my heart? Only Allah. So if I want to become a Muslim, first I must confirm with my heart that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. This must be my absolute, total commitment, total conviction. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And then this I say with my tongue. Now the saying with your tongue is incidental, because in Islam there is no specific ritual. I don't have to go and stand under a tree on a full moon night or something and say it. No. I don't have to go and say it in front of an imam in a masjid on a Friday. I don't have to. There is no ritual, specific ritual involved. I could say this just by myself. I could say it in conversation. I could say it to myself. I could say it to Allah, Ya Allah, I believe in my heart that there is no one worthy of worship except you. Or I could go and do as is people, most a lot of people do. I could go and I could say this to a friend of mine, a Muslim friend of mine. I could say this to to an imam, to in a masjid, in front of a congregation. Anyway, so that speaking it is the outward manifestation which people hear. This is incidental. This is Abdullah. It should be, if you can do it, do it. But if somebody does not do it, does not mean they are not Muslim. They become Muslim the moment they believe it in their heart. And the third part of Iman, of entering Islam, is to live by this. Amal bil arkan. Arkan is the hands and feet and the faculties of the body, that they must implement La ilaha illallah. They must implement there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. What does that mean? It means that they must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one worthy of worship means there is no one worthy of obedience except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqim salah, He said, establish salah. The first amal, the first action which demonstrates our faith, our belief in Islam is as-salah. It is namaz. It is our worship. Right? So this is from the heart. And therefore, similarly, if somebody leaves Islam and they stop believing, what will happen? Nothing will happen. There were people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the munafiqeen. They were called the hypocrites. But they are called the hypocrites by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are called the hypocrites today when we talk about them. And who were these people? These were people who did not believe in their heart, La ilaha illallah. But the outward actions, they used to pray. Uwayy bin Salul, who was the chief of them, he used to pray in the first saf behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 5 times a day. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to speak, Uwayy bin Salul used to stand up and say, "People, silent, listen to the Prophet of Allah." And all this he was doing was drama. He did not believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran to say this man does not believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah from praying Salatul Janaza, which is making dua for forgiveness for these people. But as far as society was concerned, did Rasulullah implement a punishment on them? Did he cut off their heads? Did he whip them? Did he put them in jail? Did he throw them out of Medina? Nothing. He did not do anything. He knew who they were. For him, it was not even it was not hidden. So please understand this. The reason why we are talking about the Aqidah, the reason why we are talking about the creed is first of all because it is so critically important. This is how you enter Islam. This is how we remain in Islam. And this is how, if we change this belief, then we will leave Islam. As far as the outer world is concerned, the world does not know when I entered Islam, and the world will not know when a person leaves Islam. That is between that person and Allah. And that is the reason why it is so important to understand the Aqidah and to ensure that we always remain on the Aqidah. Please understand that just because you attend an Aqidah class and just because you know the Aqidah, alhamdulillah, this is good for you. But this does not mean that you will always be on the same Aqidah. Things come. I know people, mashallah, who are good, believing, muwahideen, Muslims who were strong on Tawheed, and then they got led astray by this person or that person, and they started believing in all kinds of things which amount to shirk, which amount to joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some cases, they lost faith in the ahadith and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, and they rejected all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa. Right? There are many ways in which people, in which shaitan misguides, and a person can end up outside Islam. The reason why we should understand the Aqidah is so that we don't fall into that trap. So we talked about, now we are looking at the shirk fi asma wa sifatillahi ta'ala. Shirk, or joining partners in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about giving, na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us from this, giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the attributes of human beings. So imagining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this or that in our human characters, saying that God created created the world, or created, I don't know what they believe, whether they created the whole universe or whatever. But they created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God was tired, so he rested. Na'udhu billah. This is complete misguidance, because if God is like me, then why would I worship him? Right? So because when you're saying he got tired, then it's only a matter of degree. I also get tired. I don't get tired. I get tired much, much more easily. And God is getting tired a little bit longer. So he's like a Superman. So I have X strength, and God has 100X strength, or 10 million X strength. So what? Big deal. I mean, he's like a human being. We are saying, Islam says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Allah is unlike anything in creation. There's no similarity in any way. Why must we know these things which are clearly wrong, so that we don't fall into those traps. Let's look at the other one now, which is, we said God must not be given the attributes of human beings. The opposite side of it is human beings must not be given the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most Shi'i sects, except the Zaydis of Yemen, they have given their imams divine attributes of absolute infallibility. Their imams, they believe that the imam can never make a mistake. They actually give the imam a level ahead of the Nabi. They say the imam is superior to the Nabi. They say that the Imams have knowledge of the past and the future, and of the ghaib, of the unperceivable. They believe that the Imams have the ability to change destiny and to control over the atoms of creation. Now, this is the Aqidah of the Ithna Asharis, the what are called the Twelvers, which is the largest group of Shia in India and Iran and most places. They believe in 12 Imams, 11 of whom are lived, and the 12th one is also alive and in living in a cave in Iraq and will emerge at an appropriate time. And every year they go and they stand before the cave and they ask him to come out, and they have been doing that for the last 1400 years or 1300 years. This is open shirk, this is an aqidah, this is a creed, which if you believe this, then it takes you out of Islam. In Islam, no human or any creature can resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or have these qualities. There is no one who has knowledge of the ghaib, of the unperceivable. There is no one who is infallible, who cannot make a mistake. There is no one who has knowledge of the past and the future. All of these are qualities that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and then we come now to the next, which are the Iman in the Malaika, the angels. So, what are the Malaika and what is our belief in the Malaika, in the angels? We believe in the Malaika. The general belief, sense of belief is that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created another life form, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all kinds of animals and insects and fish and so many life forms. Some we know, some we don't know. Allah created the jinn, which we cannot see. The jinn can see us, but we cannot see them. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the malaika. Allah created angels, which is a different life form from human beings and from the jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as being revered slaves who give His word, His order, sole precedence, and who do whatever He commands. So in some ways, an angel would be like, say for example, just for us to understand, we don't compare these things, but just for us to understand, an angel would be like a robot. So this robot has is running according to a certain program, and the robot will do whatever it has been programmed to do. There is no, for example, if it's a robot which is a cutting machine, then this robot will cut anything which comes in front of its sensor. It does not check to see whether what it's cutting is a piece of wood or whether it is the hand of the carpenter. It doesn't matter. If it comes in front of the sensor, it will chop. So similarly, the malaika, the angels, are those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not have free will. They don't say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to do something, they don't think about it. They don't say, well, you know, this order, should I obey it, should I not obey it? To me, this order seems to be this way or that way. No. What is ordered to them, they do it. There are many kinds of angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about, and this does not restrict the actual number or the actual or the kinds of angels there are. We only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there are some angels which are responsible for carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, let us understand this very, very clearly. Allah is not dependent on the angels to carry His throne. Allah does not need His throne for Him to be established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established irrespective of all this. But Allah chose to be established on the arsh, on His throne. Allah chose for this throne to be carried by four angels, and on the Day of Judgment, Allah will create four more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown these angels. He said, the hamalini arsh, the angels that carry the throne, they are so massive that if a bird takes off from the shoulder of the angel, after flying 500 years, it still would not have reached the ear lobe of the angel. So this distance is more than 500 years of fast flying by a bird. So this is just to give us an idea of the size and obviously strength of the angels. Some angels Allah created to guard Jannah and Jahannam. Right, the angel in charge of Jannah is called Ridwan, the angel in charge of Jahannam is called Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created angels to write down our deeds, and these are called Kiraman Katibin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created angels who will question us in the grave, and these are two angels called Munkir and Nakir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the greatest of the angels, his Rasul, his messenger, and that is who? Jibreel alayhi salam, right? Not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest of all his creation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is greater even than Jibreel alayhi salam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul of Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was human. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. He said, say, I am a human being like you, and I receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What sets him apart is the fact that he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human. He lived, he walked, he talked, he ate food, he was married, he had children. He got sick, he got well, and he died and he was buried. Jibreel alayhi salam is also a Rasul, is also a messenger of Allah, and he is the greatest of angels. He is the head and the chief of angels, and he is the one who brought the first revelation that Rasulullah received, was brought to him by Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam brought revelation also to all of the Anbiya. This is his main job, and he has many other jobs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Mikail alayhi salam, and among his duties is that he enables or brings rain to different parts of the earth as a result of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Israfil alayhi salam, the angel who has only one single duty, and that duty is to blow the trumpet, to blow the sur, which will completely and totally destroy all of creation. And then he will blow the sur again, and the day of judgment will be established, and human beings and jinn who have died will come back to life, and they will be brought together on the day of judgment in the field of Hashar to be judged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Malakul Maut, the angel of death. Whose job is that? It is to extract the souls of all those who are alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, he knows what he created, but to believe in these angels, to believe in the specific angels that I mentioned, because these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and these Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about, to believe in these specific angels, and to believe generally that there are angels who are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is part of the Aqeedah of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, in Surah Al-Fatir, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ جَعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. All praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only originator or only creator of the heavens and the earth, who made the angels messengers with wings, two or three or four. He increases in creation what he wills. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. Now, just to give you some idea of the size, for example, Rasulullah ﷺ said that he saw Jibreel ﷺ in his real form, and he has 600 wings, and each spread across the horizon and covered it. When Rasulullah saw Jibreel Salam for the first time, he saw him sitting on a throne in the middle of the horizon, and his wings spread and covered the entire horizon. Jabir bin Abdullah reported that Rasulullah mentioned the angels carrying the arsh, and he said that the distance between its earlobe and shoulder is what a bird would have to fly for 700 years. I said 500, actually, bird number 700. 700 years to cover this distance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. Allah said, He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they cannot intercede except for Him with whom He is pleased, and they stand in awe and fear of Him. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. The glorious and the magnificent. The malaika, the angels, can do nothing on their own. They do not have free will. They don't decide. They merely carry out the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kalla bal tukadhibuna biddeen wa inna alaykum lahafizeen kiraman katibeen ya'lamuna ma taf'aloon. Allah said, Nay, but you deny the recompense, you deny the reward and punishment of the Day of Judgment. But verily over you are appointed angels which are in charge of all of mankind to watch you. Kiraman Katibin, honorable writers, writing down your deeds, and they know all that you do. It's a good thing to remember this when we are living our life, so that we know that every single thing. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah said, they will come to know and you will be shown every good thing you did, and you will be shown every evil thing you did, even if it is something the size of an atom or an ant or a mustard seed, something which is so tiny. And that is what these angels are recording. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُرْوَةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُتَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونٍ وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. Verily, this is the word, the Qur'an, brought by a most honorable messenger, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, owner of power and high rank with Allah, the Rabb of the throne, obeyed by the angels, trustworthy there in the heavens. And O people, your companion Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not mad. He is not a madman. He is not Majnoon. And indeed he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw him, that is Jibreel, in the clear horizon towards the east. And this is in Surah Takwir. The angels are a different life form. They are not, they have no gender. They are neither male nor female. Jibreel alaihi wasallam sometimes came and appeared in human form, and when he came in human form, he resembled one of the companions, and his name was Yahya al-Kalbi. He looked like him, or he came as a Bedouin Arab who nobody knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked and reprimanded the pagan Arabs, the mushrikeen, who claimed that the angels were feminine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ خَلَقْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِنَاثًا وَهُمْ شَاهِدُونَ. Allah said, or did we create the angels as females while they were witnesses? They said the angels are the daughters of Allah. Na'uz billah. Allah said, they claim that angels are female. Allah said, were they watching? Did they see me creating? Did they see us creating them? The malaika who are named, I mentioned all of them to you, except the last one. So we mentioned, we believe in all the angels who are mentioned by name by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, responsible for rain, Malik, the guardian of Jahannam, Israfil alayhi salam, who is responsible for blowing the sur, Malakul Maut, the angel of death. Sometimes people use the word Israel. This is not the name of Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut is called Malakul Maut. We do not know what his name is, and to say Israel is not from the Quran or Sunnah. Then Ridwan, who's the guardian of Jannah, then Kiram and Katibin, the protectors and recorders of deeds, then Munkar and Nakir, those who will question in the grave, and then Harut and Marut, I forgot to mention that before, Harut and Marut were sent to the city of Babylon to test the faith of people. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels say, O Allah, man intends to do evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, though he knows more than they do, watch him. If he does evil, then record it. Likewise, and if he abandons it, then record a good deed for him, for surely he abandoned it for my sake. And this is in Bukhari, which shows that the malaika, especially the Kiram al-Katimin, who are writing our deeds, they also know our intentions. So they carry out the duties assigned to them, and they carry out whatever they have been commanded without any change. So Allah said, record what they do. Even though you may know what the intention is, you record what they do. If he does a good thing, then you record it, and you record 10 hasanat, 10 rewards for it. If he thinks of doing a bad thing, then don't do anything. If he does the bad thing, then record it. And if he leaves the bad thing, if he makes tawbah, then give him a good deed, give him a reward, write a reward in his favor for that particular thing, because Allah said he left that deed for my sake. Final point here before the end of today's class. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa qudaha an-nasu wal hijara 'alayha malaikatun ghilazun shidadun la ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. Allah said, O you believe, stay away, protect yourself and your families from Jahannam, from a fire, the fuel of which is men, is people and stones, over which are appointed angels who are stern and severe and who do not disobey the commands of Allah, that they, the commands they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do that which they are commanded. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns a person to the hellfire, the angel will throw that person in the hellfire, and the angel will not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this guy used to be a nice fellow. No. What is done. And how will a nice fellow be assigned to the fire? Because that nice fellow did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqeedah is what differentiates, is what saves us from the hellfire. Please understand this. Aqeedah is what saves us from the hellfire. Aqeedah is the door. It is the access card. After that, the rest follows, which is the deeds and so on and so on. This does not mean that if you have the right aqeedah that you are automatically saved from all the evil you did. Even with the right aqeedah, you can still end up in the hellfire because you abused people, because you took away their rights, because you murdered somebody, because you maligned somebody and assassinated their character, because you lied and cheated and whatnot, and you oppressed and you were cruel to people. All of this can still put you in the hellfire. But you at least have some chance that at least some of these things might be forgiven because you had the right belief. And of course, obviously, if you had the right belief, and even if you did all this stuff, but before you died, if you made amends, if you made istighfar and tawbah, if you apologized, if you you repented and you sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you compensated the people for whatever evil you did to them, then inshallah there is hope that Allah will forgive us and Allah will give us Jannah inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have the correct aqidah, to have the correct creed and faith, and to remain on it steadfast is with istiqamah until we meet him jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.